Today I'm speaking to you about mental illness, about my experience with depression. I have mixed feelings about the term mental illness. It's really a metaphor, and like most metaphors, it can let us think we understand something we don't understand. Mental illness implies that my mind gets sick in the same way that my body does. Robert Johnson uses a different metaphor in Hellhound. He's talking about the same anxiety, hopelessness, and isolation that many of us with mental illness experience. But he locates the cause out in the world. A curse forces him to keep moving. A magic spell keeps his mind from settling enough to stay in one place. These supernatural forces start to infect the natural world. When he sings, "The wind is rising, the leaves trembling on the tree," we share his dread. My experience of depression has been much closer to Hellhound than to having an illness. The most dramatic symptom of my depression is what I call my tailspins. If I run into some little difficulty or conflict, say I forget to pick up something at the grocery store, I feel tremendous shame and start reflecting on how I'm a terrible person. Everything becomes grist for the mill. If someone does me a favor, I feel unworthy of it. If someone asks me to do something, I decide that they are telling me what a loser I am for not having done it sooner. If I try to do something I normally enjoy, I feel selfish for enjoying myself. I should mention that most people tell me I'm a pleasant, trustworthy person. But when I'm in a tailspin, this knowledge makes no sense. It seems perfectly obvious to me that I'm a misfortune to myself and others. The obvious solution to this situation is to kill myself. Although I never attempted suicide, I spent a lot of time thinking about it. It never occurred to me that this was depression, because I was just dealing with the fact that I was a terrible person. In addition to these tailspins, I also had a lot of trouble with insomnia. When I was in my 30s, these two symptoms combined to undermine my ability to function. I'd wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and be unable to fall back asleep. The inability to sleep would set off tailspins. I'd end up spending 3 or 4 hours before I started my day reflecting on how useless I was, why any God that cared for the world would condemn me to eternal damnation. All of this seemed perfectly true and obvious to me. In other words, it was a lot closer to hellhounds and hot foot powder than it was to having gallstones. It got bad enough I went to a therapist. After a while, the therapist referred me to a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist prescribed an antidepressant, and that changed everything. It got rid of the insomnia altogether. I now slept 7 hours regularly, often 9 or 10 hours. I still have tailspins, but small things would be less likely to set me off. When I did go into a tailspin, it wouldn't last as long. Before, a tailspin could go on for hours or even days, crowding out my ability to pay attention to anything else. With the antidepressant, it was rare for them to go on for more than an hour or two, and I was sometimes able to distract myself from them. The antidepressant was definitely effective in managing the symptoms of my depression. And yet, if I truly suffer from an illness, the medications have not cured it. To say a tailspin only lasted a couple hours means that during those 2 hours, I truly believed that I was an awful human being who did not deserve to live. Sometimes that sense of being a terrible person would hang on in the back of my mind for days or weeks at a time. I could do the work I needed to, I could maintain and enjoy my marriage and my friendships, but I would still have a clear sense that it would be a good idea to kill myself sometime soon. This got me wondering what it would mean to be cured of mental illness. To better understand my depression, I decided to go off my antidepressants. I wish I had more time to explain why I took such a drastic action. I've gone back to taking them and don't consider them a bad thing. It was a calculated risk to learn something I wanted to know. So at the end of 2011, at a time when I was unemployed, but without any immediate money worries, I followed my psychiatrist's directions for weaning myself from my antidepressants. The insomnia came back worse than before. I went into an ongoing tailspin, a vivid, powerful sense that I was the most despicable person alive, with no redeeming qualities, who had abused every kindness shown to him. This sense of self-loathing was almost physically painful and was accompanied by phantom pains in various parts of my body. Initially, it was only interrupted by fits of weeping, a profound sadness that was a huge relief from the overwhelming hatred and despair. In short, it was a good thing I was not working because I was a mess. I had a few interactions with my wife, but that was it. I want to emphasize this because of how different my life was by the end of the year. By then, I was working a full-time job, receiving phone complaints at a large corporation. I was regularly attending the fellowship and was teaching religious education. I had started a nationwide job search to see if it made sense to go back to my former career as a Latin teacher. I was able to be generous and supportive to my wife, who suffered from mental illness and chronic pain. Most importantly, I could prevent myself from going into a tailspin. So what did I learn? I learned that both the doctors and Robert Johnson are right. Mental illness is a problem with the mind, and it's something happening in the outside world. The heart of the matter is that our minds and reality are closely connected, and mental illness involves a breakdown in that connection. Here's what I mean. Say I'm walking down the street. I come to a corner. I see a car coming down the cross street in my direction. I stop, so the car goes past me. When I no longer see the car coming toward me, I resume walking. In this situation, my mental experience of the car causes me to stop, and my stopping keeps the car from being a danger to me. Mental event leads to action, and the action resolves the mental event. Here's a different example. A commercial for a new movie makes me excited to see the movie. I make arrangements and see the movie on its opening night. When I next see the commercial, it no longer fills me with the same excitement. In this case, the excitement leads me to go see the movie, which settles the excitement. Mental event leads to action, and the action resolves the mental event. I call this back and forth between mental event and action the cycle of reason. When our actions resolve the issues that arise in our minds, we say we have reasons for our actions. I have a reason to eat if I'm feeling hungry. I have a reason to stay inside if I see it's raining. In mental illness, there's a breakdown in this cycle of reason. There's no longer a connection between mental event and action. When I'm in a tailspin, the self-hatred I feel continues on no matter what I do. I think most of us realize that this is what's going on when we recognize another person's mental illness. We know that the person with depression is experiencing moods unrelated to reality, that the schizophrenic is hearing voices that aren't there. We may think to ourselves, or even say, that they just need to ignore their minds and deal with reality. The trouble is, we only know something is real because our mind tells us it is. My mind tells me I'm a terrible person in reality. There is no doubt, no argument. So the problem for me was, how do I live my life when I'm absolutely positive the best thing would be to kill myself? I needed to learn not to trust my feelings because my feelings told me to kill myself. There are actually a lot of good tools out there to learn how to not trust your feelings. I'm going to describe the tools I used as a sort of four-step program. First, I accepted the breakdown in the cycle of reason was happening. I stopped fighting it. Second, I figured out what I wanted in my life, regardless of whether or not I was a terrible person. Third, I tried every day to find at least one small thing I could do to reach one of those goals, and repeated it whenever I could. Fourth, I discussed my goals and actions with people who understand the breakdown in my cycle of reason. The hardest thing was to learn to accept the breakdown. I read a lot of spiritual literature and tried out various meditations. I found Eckhart Tolle particularly useful. He talks about dealing with psychic pain simply by focusing attention on it and remaining present to it without fighting it. This self-discipline of remaining present to my pain taught me to not just react to the pain, to accept it as something normal. Slowly, I was able to see that even when I despised myself, there were things I still wanted out of my life. I wanted to be able to take care of my wife. I wanted to be in good health so I could be there for her and for other people I cared for. I wanted to find work so I could keep a roof above our heads. I wanted to live in a community that could make good use of my gifts and talents. I might never get those things, but I wanted to at least try to get them. I looked for every small thing I could manage to do. At first, my goal was to take a walk every day, first thing when I got out of bed. It might take me 2 hours to get out of bed. I might not do anything else that day, but I took my walk every day. Day by day, I added new challenges. I got a therapist. I went to a job fair. I got low-stress temp jobs. Initially, every task seemed overwhelming, but I stuck to it. One of those tasks came to me while I was in a tailspin at 4 a.m. one Sunday morning. I discovered the fellowship's website online and realized it was the kind of community I was looking for. I went to a service that morning, and even though I sat in the back and cried, I kept coming back. It was crucial all through this to have people who knew what I was going through and knew how hard it was to do what I was doing. I had friends with mental illness at support groups I went to. I had a therapist I saw every 2 weeks. I made some good friends at the fellowship, including Jason Seymour, Roger, and Leah. With all these people, I could say that I was an emotional wreck, but that I wanted to keep showing up for things that were important to me. During this whole year, I never had a sense that everything was under control. It always seemed like things were falling apart, that everything was going wrong, and that it was all my fault. But I stuck to this course of action because I had decided that it was the right thing to do. It is this fact that I held to a course of action when all of my feelings and everything I perceived about myself told me that I should just run away and kill myself, that to me is the definition of the word faith. As a result of all this work, I turned a corner on dealing with my tailspins at the end of 2012. One of the things that could really send me into a tailspin was fights with my wife over money. In December, we had one of those fights. I began telling her with total sincerity that I was going to kill myself. My wife called the police, who were prepared to have me admitted to a locked ward if it was necessary for my safety. While they were standing in my kitchen, I realized that they were presenting me with a real alternative. If I could persuade them that I was not a danger to myself or other people, I could stay at home. But if I couldn't, they would relieve me of my freedom for several days. I could see a clear line I had never seen before. If I wanted to hurt myself or someone else, I was not in my right mind, and I had to restrain myself. I was able to tell them that I no longer wish to kill myself and really mean it. Ever since that moment, it's like there's a warning buzzer in me. I have the thought, it would be better if I were dead, and the next thought is, that's wrong. Hurting myself is always the wrong thing to do. That was the moment I got control of my tailspins. I still have a lot of negative thoughts about myself, but they go away now before a tailspin starts, because the knowledge that hurting myself is wrong intervenes. Insomnia never went away, so in January of 2013, I started taking an antidepressant again. I'm very grateful for the medication, but it's not the only thing holding me together. With or without medication, no matter how negative my thoughts get, I can still live my life. This month, we're telling stories of when we took a leap of faith. When I went back over my story of going off my medications, I realized that it did involve a leap of faith. Well, in my case, I took the leap and then discovered my faith as a result. I think my story has some other lessons as well. Hopefully you have a better sense of the challenges of mental illness. My story is not a story of how simple it is to overcome mental illness. It took me more than 40 years of misery, including 15 years with a diagnosis of depression, before I mastered the skills that I've described. There's also no way to compare the severity of my mental illness to anyone else's. Everyone with a mental illness is learning to cope with it. They need our support to keep learning skills, not a critique of how well we think they are doing. A more important lesson comes from the fact that mental illness is not the only reason that people experience a breakdown in the cycle of reason. The cycle of reason can break down whenever our actions can't fix things. Chronic illness, the loss of a loved one, old age. These are all experiences that can never be fixed. It may be impossible to ignore them and get on with life. The course of action that I described, accepting the breakdown, discovering other things I want, taking small steps, consulting with others, will also help in those situations. This is not just a theory. My wife died 6 months ago. None of the feelings surrounding this loss have been exactly like my depression, but the coping skills that I practice every day to deal with my depression have also guided me through her loss. Because of her death, the world will never feel normal for me again. But because I learned not to trust my feelings, I can still live a normal life.